last week, Lavendar spoke about her experiences with Pleiadian lineup, which go back to as early or earlier than 1980, when she first started working very intensively with the Pleiadian Council. And she also talked about her experience going to Cairo in 1981 and 1983, the crystals that she took with her. And all this, again, is kind of summarized on the website, starseedhotline.com. So I'm not going to go into too much detail. If you have some particular question about this, you can hit us with that at the end of the talk. Lavendar talked about the Pleiadian alignment with as an astronomical event, as well as a extraterrestrial event when the ships come from the Pleiades, because at this time in November, and also when the sun is at galactic degree 25, 26, 27 of Taurus and Scorpio, the planet Earth and sun are in direct alignment with the Pleiades, and there's a kind of wormhole that is available so that ships can come from the Pleiades and get here in a matter of hours rather than years. And I think it's over 400 light years, if I'm not mistaken. And when they come twice a year, they are checking on their projects, whether they're starting new ones, checking on ones that are in the middle maintaining them, or projects that are ending. It's also a time when new Pleiadian souls come to the and Pleiadians that are ready to leave, whether they've finished their mission or graduated on some level, they have an option of going back or starting something new. This is also a time when the Pleiadian bloodline, genetics, and starseed marking of your current life kind of come alive with this Pleiadian frequency and can elevate you to understand more understanding, communications, those who have Pleiadian experiences, those who are just waking up, those who are wanting to sign up and be part of, you know, they've just wakened up, they don't know what they want to do with their stay on the planet. A lot of people have a feeling like, I'm supposed to be doing something, I don't know what it is. This is the time when a lot of things kind of fall into place, and you just have to know that they're here, they're watching, they're aware, they monitor things. So it's a way to kind of meet them halfway. Although that's not to say that they're not here, you know, the rest of the year there's activity all year round. But in May and November is when it's the most pronounced and higher level of activity. So with that, it's my great pleasure and privilege to introduce Lavendar, my dear friend, teacher, mentor, and amazing friend. Lavendar?
Thank you so much, Elia. Welcome, everyone, and happy Pleiadian lineup. Like she said, I've been tracking this activity of the Pleiadians for some time, and I'm just now coming out with this information in a public way. I've had a lot of this information secreted away into a bank vault, but the time is upon me now to release some of this information, because more and more people need to know about this information. So in 1983, there was a great fleet of Pleiadian ships that did come down, and they took a lot of their people home, and they simply brought a lot of people into the bodies. The bodies didn't die, they just simply exchanged souls, and this happened to millions and millions of people. And there were a lot of hospitals that were to the max full during those 3 days in November, and it happened all over the world. But I did notice in Hollywood that there was a lot more of them in Cedar Sinai and some of the hospitals where the celebrities were. Because through some of the celebrity power they used, they knew they could walk in and have a voice and bring more balancing procedures to the planet, whether it be the environment or political or just simply a balancing beam to stop war. Because war is a very big problem here on this planet, and they see that until we get our war in nature under control, that we will not be allowed to leave planet Earth to go to other places, because it's just not allowed. So I've been tracking the different people that come and go. I have a list of people that I've monitored for some time. I don't really know if I'm ever going to release that list, because it might put a lot of lives in jeopardy. But I have been really paying close attention to world leaders, politicians, religious leaders, the ones that I personally had contact with back in 1981 was with President Reagan when he was shot. And at that time we were in Cairo, and it was planned before I ever went on the trip, because me being there, I got to witness how different walk-ins would simply come and enter a body, and we were told that Brady had died, his secretary, and of course at that moment, while we were doing chanting through Bardo in the pyramids, Brady simply had a marvelous recovery, and there was a blue light in the room, and the doctors talked about it later. And at some point, I would like to talk to those doctors that witnessed that and experienced it. Later on, I understood that that President Reagan he changed somewhat in many, many ways, and I was privy to some of the assignments that he was given, and I remember distinctly telling my Earth parents that I'd been to a meeting aboard ship, and it was decided what was going to happen with the Falkland Islands, and President Reagan was fixing to give the orders. And of course, my parents at that time really had a hard time understanding what had happened to me. And so in 3 days' time, sure enough, the Falkland Island news hit, and my dad, you know, looked at me and he said, "I don't know how you know this." You know, I said, "I told you I was aboard ship." And so he said, "You know, I just wish you wouldn't tell me things like that anymore. It really bothers me." So that was kind of the end of that. But I was privy to many of the decisions that were made at different times. And there are meetings that take place inside of the Tetons in Wyoming on January 1 through 7 and July 1 through 7 of each year. And it has to do with these Pleiadian assignments. And a lot of people are taken out of their beds literally for about 45 minutes, some physically. Others, simply, their soul leaves, and there's an energy that comes and maintains their soul while they're gone. But they go and get their assignments for the next 6 months, and then they come back and they wake up. And whatever mission they're on, whether it's relationships or finances or star children, whatever it is, they wake up and go, "Oh yeah, I need to call that person today, or I need to put myself back on track. I've been kind of, you know, I've been kind of lazy about something lately." It's kind of every 6 months, a call that happens, like, "Don't you remember why you're here?" So that happens in January and July. Well, in May and November is when the Pleiadians come and see how those other two meetings went. It's like, okay, is everybody on the same page here? And if they're not, sometimes we give them a little nudge, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we just monitor them and see how well is it they're doing. And I think of, you know, these 3 days called Pleiadian lineup, or 4 days sometimes, is kind of like the Pleiadian Super Bowl. You know, everybody's sitting around their big screens, and, you know, they're having their drinks and their popcorn, seeing how Earth children are doing. I kind of think of it that way, because they all have access to their technologies to see how everything, and it's kind of a holiday for them. So, and think of it this way. They have technology 3,500 years ahead of us. And can you imagine what our great-grandfathers must have thought when people said to them, oh, one day they'll be walking on the moon, and then you'll have a telephone, and then you'll have a television, and now there's iPods, and I mean, email. I mean, it's like, you know, just three generations ago, people could not comprehend the technologies that we have now. So can you even imagine what 3,500 years ahead of us must look like? One of the things that I know for sure that looks like is they can take a drop of your blood and they can match your ancestors, your karmic records, and your astrological pattern of when you were born. One drop of blood tells them that. So that's the kind of technology that we're talking about. When I had the crystals, and I had a diver go down and get them, and they were hand-delivered to me.
That, let's back up a little bit.
Okay.
Because a lot of the people weren't here to hear the details about the Giza crystals.
Okay. In 1983, before I went to Cairo, and I was told this would be a Pleiadian lineup, and they asked me to put the word out to so many, you know, just say, put it out. Whoever shows up, shows up. I didn't have a group, really. I never had anyone come and really, I never became a guru or say, okay, you're a student, I'm a teacher. I never played that role, really, with anyone. If someone wanted to come and be in my presence, I would share with them, you know, my knowledge. So I just put it out there, and about 18 people showed up. And when I got to New York, when the hand crystals were, the little tiny baby crystals that I had, there were 40 pounds of them. And when I say tiny, some of them weren't even, you know, an eighth of an inch long. And there were 40 pounds of them, and they're double terminated, and they're open-ended, and they're crystal clear. I mean, just crystal clear. And I was told to bring these. And these were grown in the water, underwater, in a cave. And the divers had to go down and get them.
And how did you know they were there?
Pardon me?
How did you know they were there?
Let's see. I think Garland Milhollen told me that that there were double terminated quartz crystals underwater.
But it was the Pleiadians that told
me. They told me, but I asked Garland where they were.
Okay.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
And Garland told me. And so, anyway, when I got to New York, someone had taken half of them out of the bag, and I was just shocked. So I called my friend Belva Bloomer in Cripple Creek, and I said, I don't know if you're going to be able to do this or not, but can you get the divers to go get more crystals and get on an airplane and fly to Cairo, Egypt, and bring them before I go inside the pyramid? And bless Belva's heart, she did it. And she called her friend Carol, and they delivered the crystals 2 hours before I got ready to go in that pyramid. Talk about calling it close. Anyway, these crystals went in the pyramid, and they stayed for 2 days and two nights, and they were kept in the queen's chamber. The activities that we did were in the king's chamber, so they were in a separate place. So when I asked, I said, well, how powerful are these crystals? I said, well, you have nothing on your planet to measure them with. I said, well, why give them to me then? You know, it's like, I need to know. I mean, when people ask about them, I can't just keep telling them that, you know. I said, well, it's 7 million times celestial power. I said, no, you gotta just tell me, we've got to talk earth language here. So they said, all right, how about a balancing beam between man and nature? I said, okay, and what else? I said, well, if you ever really think you're about to die, you pop one in your mouth and you take one. And I went, okay. And sure enough, when it was all over and we were at the Mina house, the mayor of Giza came over, and he said, can I have one of those crystals? I said, sure. He took one, popped one in his mouth, and chased it with scotch, and I just gasped. I said, oh my God, because, you know, they're kind of sharp, and it's like it could puncture your intestines. So, since then, and the next day, he had an operation, and of course, a blue light came down, and operation was fine. It was a very critical operation. So, since then, though, you get a piece of chewing gum, you chew it up, and then you stick the crystal in the chewing gum, and then pop it in your mouth, and that will keep the little sharp edges from, you know, puncturing your intestines.
But this is in extreme.
Extreme. We're talking about when the doctor says you have 10 minutes to live.
Yeah. Okay.
Or an hour, or you know, something so drastic that you know, herbs and doctors can't do anything more, and you need some extra time. Then
I might want to just interject that that it has to be the person's decision to do that.
Right.
You can't force your loved
one.
Because if they're on their way to home, then you would be in the wrong to do that.
Well, you never interfere with anyone on their way home, period. So this would be, you know, in an extreme case.
Mm-hmm.
So after the activation of these crystals, I brought them back home, and I had a list of crystal workers. At that time, I had a quartz crystal book that was just starting to get out there, and it's out of print now. And I walked away from it when it was in its ninth printing. And a lot of people hand carried these crystals to different places, and Ayers Rock, of course, is the place where most of the crystals, not most of them, but the 100 of them went there. Can you imagine, you know, being awakened in the middle of the night, you know, with the crystal talking to you, saying you need to get an airplane ticket and fly to Australia and plant me at Ayers Rock, and this is what started happening. And a lot of people thought they were losing their minds. Later on I found out that there was a marking on top of Ayers Rock which matched one of the hieroglyphics in Egypt that means time travel. So it's pretty exciting to think that maybe they're either going to levitate that rock, they're going to do something. There's a demonstration coming. I don't know exactly what it is, but I hope that I get to be part of witnessing it, whatever it is. And then they were planted in Washington in flower pots and water fountains and monuments and lakes all over the world. I mean, these crystals are everywhere, and they get activated at different times. They're time release and they're time coded for evolutionary balancing beings for man and nature, and to protect some of the portals and some of the vortexes. They have extra interdimensional frequencies that allow communication between other worlds and this world. So after I released them all out, I said, okay, my job's done. They're gone. And then many years later, I got a box in the mail, and I was told that the man I'd been with for so many years was now dead, and that he had left me a box. And I opened the box up, and there were some of these tiny crystals. And as my head was leaning over the box, this energy hit my forehead. I got very, very dizzy, and I saw what they were, and I said, oh my God, every time I send him to the post office, he took some of them out. How do you do this? And here I had maybe a good 5 pounds of them, and here I thought they'd all been distributed. So I called one of my friends in Washington, and I said, well, what do you think? He said, well, I think that he was told to do that, and that we need them now because we just need them. So there's a second set of crystals that's shown up, and so sure enough, I am distributing them, you know, to different people at different times. And you cannot purchase them; they're not for sale. It's strictly those that I feel that hold the responsibility level of certain missions on the planet. My mother painted a picture of some crystals, and when I was walking up to the garage one day, there she was throwing these little crystals on this painting. I said, what are you doing? And she goes, I'm throwing crystals on this painting. What do you think I'm doing? I said, but mother, I said, those crystals, they're supposed to go out around the world. She said, one day, you'll be glad you have this painting. And sure enough, I am, because now I have it in my bedroom. so when the activations happen, it's like my bedroom now is a Stargate. And, you know, the good news is it happens, and the bad news is it happens. Right. And the news is it happens. So, there you have it. Ariel, can you think of anything more I should...
Yeah, well, I'd kind of like to segue into the Pleiadian initiation that happened. If we have people that are just joining us kind of late, could you please do a star 6 so that we can keep the call quality and volume up? We appreciate that. And Levendar, if you can make sure that your microphone is close enough to your mouth. When you were in the Great Pyramid in November 18th, as a matter of fact, I would like to state that tonight is the 26th anniversary of your mission to Cairo. When the ships came over the Great Pyramid, you were officiating at the Pleiadian initiations of 18 people, and there was a massive demonstration happening that kind of leads us into the next topic of walk-ins and cloning.
Okay. Yes, they came and as a demonstration, someone actually died in the sarcophagus. And when he came, I mean, when he stepped in, he was one person. When he came out, he was another. And for 6 minutes, he wasn't breathing. And, of course, I thought, oh, my God, someone's died. What's going to happen? And But I kept thinking, you know what, this is part of a demonstration. We just have to keep going. And finally he said, they gave me a body without any arms.
Without any what?
Without any arms. That's what he first said. They gave me a body without any arms. Because he couldn't feel his arms. And so I asked one of the girls with me to jump in. She rubbed his arms. We had rescue remedy. We had everything going for, you know, it's like, oh my goodness, how do you bring somebody back that's just died on you? And we didn't really know and understand until it was in motion that this was actually a different person that had come into the body. And when he got out of the sarcophagus, the girl that he'd been, you know, billing coon with and really having eyes for when he got out, she was sitting there, you know, looking at him like, oh, look at me, look at me. And he didn't even know who she was. And he just walked straight past her out the door. And then a voice said, and that is a demonstration of walk-ins. I mean, can you imagine what I must have thought at that moment? And but then I had to go, okay, who's next? It's like, and who wanted to be next? So tonight I want to talk a little bit about how that procedure, how it really happens, the technical aspect of it, and the reason that they use this procedure is because some of the things that are happening on the planet now, there's a requirement that a certain level of maturity and the DNA activations and the technologies that are placed in the people that do have Pleiadian assignments, when their assignments are over, when the ships come during this time, they take them home and they come and bring replacements. And that's what's going to be happening all over the planet. And it started on Monday. And as I understand it, we're going to have a lot of world leaders that are going to have a lot of new walk-ins. Because they have to turn down the dial on war on this planet. There's things happening that we do not see about or hear about in the news. It would be too frightening for people to know what was actually happening in the way of psychic wars, nuclear war, germ warfare. I mean, a lot of things that are starting to be in motion to be warlike on the planet. We've got a group of new soldiers, you might say, the Pleiadian soldiers of light, to come in and say, look, you got to stop this. You can't do it here anymore. We should have never allowed it to gone this far anyway. So it's like the bullies in the playground are going to be asked to leave. If they do not leave on their own, they will simply be taken up and quarantined and replaced with Pleiadian walk-ins that will completely do a 180 having to do with anything having to do with war at any level. And that means war against women, children, the planet, the people, you know, any of it. This is happening as we speak, and I knew that I had to hold this information for many, many years, because in 1983, you know, I was first told about walk-ins in 1977, but it wasn't until 1980 that I really started seeing demonstrations of it with certain people. And then in 83, I got to see more of it. It was just amped up year after year after year. I was called in to do more, it's called metasurgery. You know, I was there for a lot of exchanges to take place. And for people that had some really high assignments on the planet, some celebrities, some politicians, some people that were going to have evolutionary thought in the environmental movement. The list goes on. But anyway, I wanted to talk about the technology part of it tonight, because the physical body holds within it amazing life force. And certain people that have certain DNA and 14 generations of records that are aligned to this particular movement that's happening now, because this is an evolutionary program where there's going to be a quantum leap. And people that are attached to this quantum leap, whether you want to call it 2012, whether you want to call it, you know, 2050, makes no difference what you call it, because if you're a part of it, you know it. And when you know it, no one can ever take that away from you. There are a lot of people, though, that come here as walk-ins, and they're surrounded by so much technology, computers and cell phone towers and chemicals and MSG and diet drinks, that some of their programs start getting erased and they can't remember why they're here. So I'm very aware that if the signal isn't strong enough in the body to hold it from the DNA, sometimes they'll come and they'll bring you a little help. And these are implants. Implants, they're about the size, well, they can be all different sizes. I've seen them microscopic, and I've seen them as large as a half an inch to an inch long. Depending on the person, depending on what their assignment is, depending on how well they handle intent, alignment, and commitment. Because these implants only function through a divine right action of going forward into alive and living. There are some that are programmed for death and dying. And there are those that are simply come to help people cross over. You know, like my friend Brinkley, he helps a lot, you know, Daniel Brinkley helps a lot of people cross over. Well, his walk-in, that was the assignment for him. There are others that do alive and living. They're coming up with new technologies to help the body remember, help the body heal. And later on, maybe in the next 2 or 3 weeks, we'll have a guest that comes on to tell us about one of these technologies that he says is far superior to anything that he's ever seen, and I trust him very much. He may be on the call tonight. And he'll tell us more about this technology and how we can participate knowing about it. So back to walk-in. So these implants are given to the ones that need them. And you never really get an implant unless you need one or ask for one. The other thing is, if you ask 3 times, if a walk-in asks another walk-in 3 times a question, you know what? They have to answer in truth. And I find that happening more and more. Sometimes, though, after you ask once and you don't get the answer you want, you don't want to ask again. But I'm saying to you, ask 3 times, and you will get an answer from not only walk-ins, but from other beings that know that if you ask 3 times, you got to know. it's kind of a running joke now with a lot of Pleiadians going, you know, they only asked me once, so I didn't have to tell them. So,
but it has to be more than curiosity.
Yeah, that's it. It has to be more than, are you curious? And, oh, isn't that interesting? No, it has to be something that's very important to your mission. So there are a lot of walk-ins that are meeting up with other walk-ins, and they're having remembrance systems from other planets, from other experiments. A lot of old Atlanteans seem to be showing up. The Pleiadians that were involved in Atlantis, a lot of them are simply, you know, showing up through a lot of the Tesla technologies. And I know that when I lived in Atlanta, I kept thinking, Atlanta, Atlantis, yeah. And I met a lot of scientists there. A lot of scientists were living in Atlanta, Georgia, and probably still are. So, anyway, there is a device that is placed in the center of your head that corresponds to your life force in your heart. And they find that when they first started bringing the implants, some of the implants were mostly having to do with the mental reasoning, and they weren't connected to the heart. And they noticed that a lot of walk-ins kind of walked around with a Spock-like image, and they weren't received well. So they had to devise the implants to function through the heart center and through the mental center also. So there's been a lot of advancement happen with walk-ins. And that leads me to announce about cloning. Cloning has been happening on this planet for a very, very long time. In other words, they can duplicate a being just like yourself with your memories intact, with everything just exactly the way you are. And I have witnessed this more than I really want to talk about right now, but believe me, it's been happening for a long time. And our government now has gotten into the act, and they're going to be, I don't know if they're going to ever announce it, but they will be using, they'll be using clones for different activities. And because of the war faction, and some of the clones are being designed for war, that's another reason the Pleiadians are showing up at this time. They're saying, you know what, you just got to stop doing this. We're not going to let you take it this far. So I guess I'd like to open it up for questions now, Aria.
Well, before, just before we do that,
okay.
We had talked earlier about something that I think would be very much very enlightening, because I myself have had a problem over the years reconciling my own earth sense of justice with the Pleiadian agenda, and sometimes feeling like I'm trying to understand somebody 35 years ahead of me with my little earth brain. But I think the best explanation or analogy of how, you know, like, how come there's war? How come people are starving? How come the economy is falling? How come all these bad things are happening and the Pleiadians aren't doing anything, or God isn't doing anything? And I think to look at history for a similar scenario, could you tell us about the Old West project?
Okay. After the Civil War, there were all these Civil War soldiers that had gotten a taste of war. They'd killed a lot of people, and they were just kind of on their horsebacks and roaming around. And Pleiadians designed the 19-year experiment called Law and Order and the Like of It, and it was the gunslinger days. And the Jesse James and the Billy the Kids and all those stories and all those experiments were really run from by Pleiadian ships. And every May and November, they would come down and they would review what was happening you know, in the small towns and the frontier towns, and with the Indians and, you know, the shoot 'em ups and the bank robberies and all of that. And you talk about watching it on their TV screens on the Pleiades. They were getting it firsthand. And, you know, later when Hollywood really started throwing films out there, how many times have we seen the remake of Jesse James? How many times have we seen, I mean, the stories, they don't let them die. They keep going on and on and on. And it's year after year after year that the gunfighter stories are just constantly being told by Hollywood. Constantly. And it's because it was one of their highest experiments for 19 years. And when I say 19 years, it started on a day and it ended on a day. And it was a 19 years eclipse cycle. It was from one eclipse to the next. And when it ended, it just ended. Is that what you wanted me to say?
When we talked about this before, it was allowing total lawlessness and anarchy, because it had to get so bad that the people finally said, enough, we must establish law and order.
Right.
So it was actually law from lawlessness.
Right.
And now that we're safely removed from that, you know, 150 years, it's easier to put it in perspective that, you know, people were tortured and died and murdered and stolen from and ruined and all these, and it was a Pleiadian project, because the best way to create law was to let it get so bad that the people found it within themselves to rise up above this and create law and order and more civilization. So in effect, the same thing could be happening now, because there's so much strife in the world.
Right.
How do we know that, you know, from the Pleiadian point of view, you know, and they are getting to the point where they're saying, okay, enough is enough.
Yeah.
Now we have to have peace from war, as it was law from lawlessness. That was my point.
Right. And and I think that's exactly what we're in the middle of on this Pleiadian lineup, is you know, witnessing some of the turnarounds that are going to take place within the next 6 months. I think that we're going to see, I think we'll see disclosure happen with coming from, if not from the UN, from different places. I think the French president, if we don't announce it soon ourselves, I think he'll take center stage. He and his wife will announce to the world what you have coming. There's a lot of announcements that will be happening in the next 6 months. I think there'll be a lot of leaders that will be leaving the planet, either through illness or through assassination, in the next 6 months.
Or replacement?
And there's going to be replacements. There'll be some that will, their bodies won't be here anymore, but there'll be others whose bodies will simply be readjusted overnight. So I think it's a very exciting time. It's a very exciting time for those of us that have been on this mission for a very long time. And we just got to take the attitude of, you know, we're here now. This is what we've been working towards, is seeing the changes take place. And they're changing because of us, because of those of us that have, you know, blazed the trail for so many years. And For the people that are just waking up, I say welcome, because you're in for the ride of your life.
And we're lucky that we have an experienced driver to show us the way. And with that, I would open the floor for questioning, and I do want to please ask you to keep your questions brief and on topic. And Lavendar will do her best to answer your questions, and then please release the floor to the next person. If you have a question, please feel free. Press star 6 to unmute yourself.
Is Jerry on? Jerry, are you there? guess he didn't come on.
Okay. So, no one has a question? Well, you must have done a great, great job of covering Pleiadian lineup.
Okay.
We will have, next week we will not have a call because of Thanksgiving, but 2 weeks from tonight we will have another call. And, of course, any comments or questions that maybe later you say, oh, I wish I had asked, you can send an email to Lavendar or myself, R-E-L, at starseedhotline.com. And, of course, everyone is invited to visit the website and watch the videos, which are on the headline news page. Does someone have a question?
I kind of did. I don't know how it... Lovely, and now here I get a plane. Okay. I have a question regarding oversouls and cloning. I don't know if it's on topic or not, but what is an oversoul, and does it have anything to do with cloning?
Yes, I have seen several operations where they have an oversoul and a cloning and a walk-in all combined. There are many different combinations for cloning operations. It's mind-boggling. You know, take for instance, you have one soul, and the soul decides to split off in 18 parts. That means they have 18 different bodies. Then they have the oversoul of those 18 bodies. And then you have to put in 18 walk-ins to match the 18 parts of soul. I mean, this can get so complicated that it's hard to talk about.
Okay. Okay, well, can you just, what exactly is an oversoul? If you could, I mean, if it's too complicated, I'll withdraw the question.
You know what it is? It is pretty complicated.
Okay.
It would just take too many over the edge tonight.
Okay, but it has to do with cloning and walk-ins.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you.
You can.
I have a question.
Okay.
Go right ahead.
This is Brandon. How are you doing, Lavendar? What is the difference between a star seed and, say, as an indigo child or a crystal child?
Okay. Star seeds have been coming here for a very, very long time, okay? And star seeds have to do with, they're cosmic travelers, cosmic travelers that take Earth bodies at birth. You know, their DNA and their RNA memory packets are activated by cosmic planetary energies, our galactic blood coding. That's starseed. And these are characteristics that happen in the physical, mental, psychic, spiritual areas of their life. Indigo children are ones that have been selected to be born for this particular evolutionary jump, and they can only be born to starseed. It's an evolutionary advancement of humans that they have designed for the next jump. Indigo crystal children have to have starseed parents. Does that explain it to you?
That explains it pretty well. I read somewhere to where usually indigos have what's like a spiritual parent, and the other parent is usually from, you know, a different, say, a different planet.
That too. Indigos and crystal children are here simply, and they all start showing up basically after 1983. And, they're more advanced. I'd say they're at the advanced group on the planet.
And they have extra DNA.
Yeah, and they have extra DNA. Yeah, but most of them have 24 strands.
So in effect, all indigos are starseed, because starseed is kind of generic, but not all starseed are indigos.
That's right. There you go.
That do it for you, Brandon?
Oh, that does it wonderful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I was going to tell, I think that was Alicia's question about the oversoul. on the headline news page, you can request a topic for a future conference call, because we're always open to new subjects, and so you go on and make suggestions. Anyone can make a suggestion for a topic that you would like to have Lavendar speak on, in addition to the ones that we have, you know, plans to speak on. So, any other questions from the floor, please?
I wondered if you should talk about schism, since this is kind of a lot of energy time. Yeah, you talked to me about it, Lavendar, once, about, like, coming back and my energy not matching up right and not kind of just feeling out of sorts during November.
Because the changes, you know, the frequency changes can, you know, either make you sick, they can empower you and make you feel wonderful, or they can, you know, it depends on the memories that are happening in your blood. You do a lot of salt baths. You do a lot of taking time to be by yourself and alone and away from people. You try not to be on too many cell phones or around disruptive energies, because you're more sensitive at these times than other times. And during these times, and that's you, Monique, right? That's talking.
Yes, it is.
For you, and I wanted to share with the group, you know, Monique, she races galactic horses. She has horses that are just not of this world. And so there's energies on your farm that's probably, you know, it's hard for a lot of people to maintain energies being around these kind of animals that have, you know, strong implants in their heads. So for you, you know, you really have to give yourself a break, knowing who you are, knowing what you're dealing with, and the things that will be drawn to you will not be drawn to your fellow farmers and ranchers around you. You know, you'll have no one to compare it to, because
okay. You're
a unique experiment.
And I think that a lot of people should be able to relate to that, because although circumstances are different,
definitely. Would that be true also for those of us that are still in school on a huge campus with a bunch of students and teachers and having headaches and feeling just like good grief would happen to me?
Yeah,
right.
And because, Alicia, there's an implant in your head that's recording all of that and sending it somewhere so they can see the level of consciousness of the people.
There's always more going on than you're aware of, but when you just feel out of sorts and you don't know why, that could be an indication. And during this time, during Pleiadian lineup, when energies are hitting that you're not accustomed to being hit with, yeah, it can empower you, it can make you feel a little strange, but you just have to know that it's all just, you know, think of the old west. Even though you feel like you're getting shot up, that is going to bring about a much better state. You know, even if the road is rough, it will bring about a much better state. So, you know, temporary inconvenience, permanent improvement. So hang in there, everybody.
I have one more question that came to mind.
Okay.
What is the relation between the 11-11 time codes and starseeds and, say, Pleiadian projects?
They're all interwoven, because the different numerical signatures that have been given to starseed, the 1111 is one that holds the spiral codes for the DNA to be activated, for peace to come to the planet. And it's kind of interesting that the 1111 kind of looks like the New York Towers, you know? It's a time when people are to wake up, when they, you know, when you look at the clock and it says it, it's just a reminder. You wake up, you gotta remember why you're here. And it is part of a Pleiadian, time release code, sure.
thank you, Lavinora. I feel like what you're saying resonated with me well.
Okay.
Well, if we have no more questions, I would like to... Do we have any more questions? I'd like to thank everybody for joining us and invite you to go to the headline news page on our website, starseedhotline.com. If you go to the home page and click the banner that's moving across the top, it will take you to that page which has links to the audio MP3s of interviews with Lavendar, another one that's called Seeing the Ships, and there's also links to videos, not only on videos on our site, but those same videos are on YouTube. Our channel on YouTube is Starseed Hotline, all one word, all small case, and you can see pictures and hear Lavendar speaking in detail about her trip to Cairo, and it's spellbinding. It really is. So next time you have, they're 10-minute segments, and there are six of them. So please visit and see that, listen to that. And we will be back 2 weeks from tonight. Next week there will not be a call because of Thanksgiving. And the topics will be posted on the Hope in My News page. And I would like to thank you so much, Lavendar, for sharing your time, your knowledge, your experience, and your wisdom with those of us who are just still trying to figure all this out.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
All right. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Okay,
happy Pleiadian lineup. Make
okay.
the most of